Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk. Live on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We give you the best sports conversation on college football, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Join us on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with former wide receiver at Temple University, Kevin Walker. Call in 347-637-3286. That's Sports Talk with K-Walk on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
All right. You are here this evening. Sports Talk with Kate Walker. Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Guys, we're going to have a good one tonight. Have some very special guests here, guys. And these gentlemen always give great insight. I'm talking about Jason Collins, Manny Nunez, and Mr. Eric Scott. And, you know, we're going to talk – I want to talk mostly NBA. I want to recap the NBA Finals, get these guys' thoughts on, how it played out without being any excuses. If these guys were healthy, meaning KD, Klay Thompson, would have been in a different outcome. Also want to talk some trades with Anthony Davis going to the Lakers, recent trade with Kevin Conley going to the Utah Jazz. Get their thoughts on that as well. It's going to be a fun-filled one, man, and also going to talk the NBA draft that's scheduled for tomorrow night. Get their thoughts on that as well. I want to bring these guys in right now and get the ball rolling. Jason, I have Jason on. I believe I have Manny or Eric on right now. You guys there?
He's got in going the building. On, man?
What's up, buddy? What's up, Jay? How you guys been? This is Eric, right? Do I have Eric on the line as well?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, my man. All right, cool. So, yeah, again, I have Jason Collins and Eric Scott on the line as well. And I'm just going to dive right in it, guys. And I'm going to talk about the NBA Finals, man. And Eric, I definitely want to talk to you, man, because I know you posted some stuff about the Raptors and fans, cheering for them, and you calling it treason. We'll get to the bottom of that, but that's some awesome stuff. But bottom line, man, you know, you obviously had KD going down, KD trying to come back, and Game Five gave the Warrior effort, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended. Gave the effort and, got these guys, to possibly, maybe come back and steal the series. Jay, I'm going to start with you on this one. Give me your thoughts on the series, how you see it played out. I mean, besides the obvious, is it, without making any excuses, was the fact that the matter that KD wasn't there for the entire series and Klay Thompson going down in Game 6. Did that play a big part? Give me your thoughts and opinions on that.
Yeah, look, I'll say this. Like, Toronto doesn't owe anybody an apology. They
right.
did what they had to do, and they're the NBA champions, and 20 years from now, history probably won't remember all the details. But that being said, to me, if Kevin Durant is healthy and plays in that series, there's no way Toronto wins that series. I mean, even with when he played in, what was it, Game 5, and just for that 12 minutes or so that he was on the floor, the Warriors look like a completely different basketball team. And if you look at it, man, I know everyone brings up that stat like, oh, they're 30-1 without him. Yeah, that's in the regular season. In the finals, the Warriors are 9-1 when Kevin Durant plays, and they're something like 8-10 when he doesn't play. So, to me, if Durant is healthy, if Klay is healthy, I think the Warriors probably win it in 5-6 at the most. I definitely think it impacted the series. Again, it's no fault of Toronto, and like you said, man, there's no excuses in sports. Injuries happen all the time. But, yeah, man, to me, Durant's the best player in the league, and if he's healthy, they win the series.
Yeah, great point, man. Great that point there. I know we have Manny in as well. Manny, I'm going to get to you. Your mic is open, by the way, Manny. But, E, same question, buddy.
Well, now, here I look at it slightly different. I think, now, Jay made some good points. If a healthy KD Yes, I think the Warriors win it in 4 or 5 games. But on the flip side of that coin, I can't make excuses for the Warriors because you still got 4 All-Stars. Steph Curry, All-Star. Boogie Cousins, All-Star. Draymond Green, All-Star. The other little light-skinned boy, Thompson, All-Star. So even without KD, you still got 4 All-Stars out there. And over on Toronto, who you got? Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard as All-Stars? So with all things being equal, I mean, I understand, don't get me wrong, now losing KD is a huge blow to any team. But if you're still able to trot 4 All-Stars out there against 2 All-Stars, hey, you got to make a better conservative effort because, yeah, injuries are part of the game. I mean, it happens. You just, what does New England say? Next man up.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great point. Great stuff there, as always, E. Manny, welcome to the show, buddy. Again, your mic is open. My question that I pose to Jason and Eric is that give me your thoughts on the series. We're just going to recap the NBA Finals. And give me your thoughts, man. If the Warriors were healthy, do you see a different outcome here?
Well, absolutely. First off, good evening, gentlemen. Good to be on with you guys again. Great to be with you. Kev, with regards to your question, yeah, absolutely. I think when you take KD out of the equation, I think that although, like Eric said, you still have 4 All-Stars on the team, now you have to grow accustomed to playing without KD. Whereas KD was such a huge part of their regular season and obviously their postseason up until the Houston series, I think you have to take that into account. And now when you have Klay Thompson going down, I think that now it's just a matter of, could they have overcome that? It looks like, they could have put up a good fight, but I think in the end it was just a matter of just it being too much, too many injuries.
Right.
And Boogie, although Boogie is an All-Star, yeah, he was an All-Star like last year, but, and there were times in the series that he was just basically getting pushed around by someone that was giving up 100 pounds and a lot smaller than him.
Right.
But I'm curious to see. Obviously, KD more than likely is not going to play next year. You got Klay that's probably not going to play until January or February of next year. And now what the Lakers doing, what they're doing, I'm sure we're going to talk about that later on. This pretty much just opens up the NBA for any and everybody. So
right.
I'm very curious to see as to what this upcoming season is going to bring.
Great point. And that's an excellent point, actually, because that leads me to my next segue. And, Jay, I'm going to start with you on this one. And with that being said, there's no KD for the foreseeable future if at all, I mean, next year, if he opts in if he decides to opt in or sign an extension. Klay Thompson, there's rumors has it that the Warriors are going to give him the max, but even if they do, that injury is going to keep him out for the majority of the season. Now, right now, Jay, with the Lakers making that trade for AD, and also the big trade with Kevin Conley going to the Jazz, it looks like the West is opening up right now. Jay, give me your thoughts on that. How do you see? Where do you see KD being? And if he does sign with re-sign with the Warriors or opts in, how do you see the Warriors playing out? How do you see the West is playing out? Just give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not only is the West open, I think depending on what Kawhi does, the whole NBA
right.
is kind of wide open. But here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I think the Lakers have put themselves in a really good position. Having LeBron, having AD, they were able to hold on to Kuzma. I do think giving up all those picks might come back and bite them at some point. But,
right.
I mean, if you've got LeBron and AD, what do you have? Maybe 2 of the top 6 or 7 guys in the league? That's a good starting place.
Right.
So I think right now, given the injuries that Golden State's going to be looking at, you kind of look at the Lakers and say, they might be the front runner depending on what happens with the draft and free agency. If I'm Kevin Durant, though, seeing what the Lakers did, I think I'm more inclined to maybe stay in Golden State.
Right.
Because if I'm looking around the league and I say I go to New York or I go somewhere else, am I really going to have a team that can compete with the Lakers, if they've got AD and LeBron, my best chance at beating LeBron and the Lakers the next few years is staying right in Golden State with Clay and Curry, because that's going to give me the best chance to win multiple championships. Even though it looks like next year they might be out of that race, down the road I think that gives him his best chance to win.
Yeah, great point there, Jay. And also you got to wonder what Boogie Cousins is going to do as well. He has that 1 year deal. Will he re-sign? But that's great points there. Hey, give me your thoughts on that same question. Are you there? Are you on mute?
I'm here. Right, well, my bad. I was just talking. Right. No, I'm here. I was just talking. I was on mute. My bad.
I figured it's
so what I was saying, it kind of seems like for the foreseeable future next year and the year after, parity is back in the NBA like it was in like the late 80s, early 90s, where you got one or two guys on the squad and you got several teams that are competitive. Because it looks like they've achieved that through injury. With KD going down and Thompson going down, and then you don't know where Kawhi is going to go, and then you still got Houston, you got OKC, you got Dame Lillard. Now in Boston, whatever they're doing, you got the guys in Philly. Now you have several teams in the mix, because over the last, say, ever since LeBron went to Miami, they created the super team, and I am here for the super team. So just to put that out there. But now it seems like they got some parity back. But LeBron is trying his best to keep the super team. He's got AD, and, you know, because they're asking AD to not take his trade bonus so they can give another max contract. So
right.
I think, but it's just like LeBron and myself are the only two that are here for the super team. So given with everything that's happened, I think KD's best move is to stay in Golden State. But if I'm going to stay, I don't know if I let you just opt in for this 1 year where I got to pay you $31 million and you can still leave me next year. I got to go ahead and get you at least 2-3 more years. So, I mean, Clay, I think that's a done deal. I think you're okay there. But the biggest question to answer your question is what Kawhi is going to do. Is he going to stay in Toronto? Is he going to come west? I mean, that's going to be the deciding factor in all this, I think.
Yeah, great points there, man. And yeah, that's the big picture there, man. I mean, Kawhi, Kawhi's winning the NBA championship, man. I mean, does he want to stay in Toronto? Was that just a stop and drop,
now,
if you will?
You know, but, his best move though is, you know, because he's an 8 year player. Once you hit 10 years, you can make a lot more money on a match deal. So he should sign what I call a LeBron deal, a 2-year deal, 1+1. You know, 1 year and then the second year player option. If he does that in Toronto, you know, you can put in two more seasons up there. Then I think when he hits free agency, because the max deal is better, but, you know, this is the same dude who drove a Bronco or a Tahoe from the 80s.
Right.
So I don't know how much money it means to him, but I'm sure those Canadian taxes, you know, hey, he needs to recoup some of that because health care ain't free.
You ain't learned about that. Let me ask you this, with that being said, Eric, now, where's Kawhi at in his career right now? He's obviously, you know, one of the best players, arguably top five player, just won a championship. Where is he looking for his career to be? Is he looking for somewhere that he wants to be long term? Is it about the money for him right now? I mean, obviously it's not about the championship because he got that, unless he's looking for multiple championships. Give me your thoughts on that.
Two finals MVPs.
I think
ultimately he's always said he wanted to go home, and he's from California. So Sacramento's out. Nobody goes there. The Sacramento is the equivalent to the Raiders. Koreans go there to die. So his choices really would be the Lakers or the Clippers, because I don't think he's here for the super team where he would go to the Warriors. And if he doesn't want to play with LeBron, looks like the Clippers, because I don't think money means that much to him. And then I don't think he has two championships, two final MVPs. Now, I think he does need is better representation, because from what I hear, his uncle does all his stuff for him. And that's okay. You can bring family in, but you also need a professional. At least if your uncle is advising you, you need someone advising your uncle. So it all depends on, because, you know, he's really not marketable where he's going to endorse a bunch of stuff because he doesn't talk. So, I mean, you know, just stuff like that. No one really knows what's important to him. But like I said, he has 2 championships, 2 final MVPs. So I think he's going to make the move to California, but I don't think it'll be next season.
There you go. Great stuff there. And you made a great point as well as far as Sacramento goes, because Harrison Barnes just opted out of his contract, the $20 million contract with the Kings. So great point there. Manny, your thoughts,
hey,
please.
Hey, K-Walt,
yeah, go ahead.
Which, by the way, I don't want to get off topic, but I think Harrison Barnes might be overvaluing himself a little bit. I hope this isn't another case of a guy thinking that he's worth more than he really is, man. I don't know if anyone's going to pay him $20 million.
Al Horford just opted out of his deal, or it looks like he's going to opt out of his deal, $31 million deal. I believe it was $31 million with the Celtics. So great point there, Jay. I don't know what these guys are thinking. Maybe they know something that we don't know, but, you know. But anyway, I'm sorry, Manny. Give me your thoughts on what Jay and E just talked about.
I want to slide off the topic just slightly, and Kev, I wanted to ask you, what is the what's the word up there in New York in regards to the Knicks? Are they like the biggest losers so far in this off season? Because you have KD going down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have Kyrie who wants to go to New York but doesn't want to play in the Garden. He'd rather play in Brooklyn.
Right.
Who are the Knicks targeting at this point, if anyone?
You know, right now, Manny, it's all about the draft. It's all about R.J. Barrett right now. The word I'm hearing is, and, you know, a lot of Knicks fans that I'm hearing as well, the paper's saying, you know, a lot of them are feeling like they're, you know, they just lost their dog. They just lost their puppy when KD went down with the Achilles injury. You know, they feel like, you know, well, you know, we're not getting this guy. You know, he's done. We don't, if we get him, he's not going to be ready for, you know, the beginning of the season, if the season at all. So to answer your question, that's basically what I'm hearing now, man. They're distraught, man. They're distraught right now, and they're just hoping for, you know, hopefully Kyrie would come there or Kawhi. But right now, like you said, right now it looks like it's more Kyrie going to Brooklyn as opposed to him coming to Manhattan. So, man, great question there, man. Great question there.
You know, I'd like to see maybe Kawhi maybe perhaps go to New York. I mean, it's obvious that maybe the lights, you know, of Madison Square Garden maybe won't be too big for him. Because he could care less. You know, he goes in, like Eric said, he goes in with a 94, 96 Tahoe, and he drives it up there, you know, off of Fifth Avenue, whatever. He doesn't care. So I think the landscape is going to be dictated, quite honestly, by what Kawhi does. You know, and I think right after that, you know, the chips are going to fall. And you know, Jay's right. Harrison Barnes, he may have overvalued himself. He may want to go back to North Carolina. And you know, some time to be there. But I think a lot of it is going to depend on what Kawhi does and what the Lakers perhaps, you know, end up doing, because word on the street has it that they're looking to create even more salary cap space,
right,
by looking to get rid of, like, 3 more players or what have you. So, you know, they're in it this year for the run. They're in it for the title run. Anything less than that, hey, it's going to be a bust. It's either go big or go home, basically, with the Lakers.
Exactly. That's basically what it is, man. Guys, I'm gonna grab my first break here, guys. And when we come back, we're going to touch on to some of these, exactly what these guys segue into. This is why I have these guys on, man. These guys are great. These guys are awesome. They know exactly what I'm going to ask. They answer the questions exactly I expect them to ask. And when we come back, we're going to continue on the free agency talk as far as the NBA goes and where we expect these guys to be landing. And then we're going to touch on the draft as well. Guys, you are listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Guys, remember, you can follow me on Facebook, Sports Talk with K-Walk, also Instagram, KevinWalker142, and Twitter, also KevinWalker142. We're taking a quick break here, guys. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sports Talk with K Walk on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I am here this evening with Mr. Eric Scott, Jason Collins, and Manny Nunez. Some great guys here, man, giving great insight in regards to topics here. For the break, we were talking NBA free agency. We want to kind of segue into that as well. You know, these guys did a great job of doing that for me without a production meeting, if you will. So great job, guys. Great chemistry as always. Jay, I'm gonna start with you on this one. You know, we're talking free agency. Manny had touched on as far as where Kawhi was going and things of that nature. I want to talk with Kyrie Irving with you, Jay. And there's talk out there that he wants to play with AD in LA. Give me your thoughts. Did you hear anything about that? And if not, just give me your thoughts on him possibly going to the Lakers and what that could mean. Obviously would tip the balance there in the West, but what does that mean for the entire league? Give me your thoughts.
Man, there's part of me that feels like that Kyrie may have overplayed his hand a little bit. Everything I've heard and everything I've read is that the Knicks are all in on KD, and they're willing to back up the Brinks truck for him, even with the injury. But they have a lot of questions about Kyrie. I've even heard that the Lakers really don't want Kyrie. I don't know if that's true, but I don't know that the Lakers are as gung-ho about getting Kyrie as maybe Kyrie thinks they are. So I really think for Kyrie, it's Brooklyn or bust. Obviously he's burned some bridges in Boston. So I think Brooklyn really is the only place that Kyrie at this point is going to end up. I think, some of the stuff I've been hearing is a lot of people are concerned about some of his leadership qualities and things like that. And even though Kyrie is a heck of a player, he doesn't have a great body. He tends to break down and get injured. So, if Kyrie is your only guy, like we just saw in Boston, is that really enough to get it done? Doesn't seem like it. So I think Kyrie's definitely going to Brooklyn. I feel like he may have overplayed his hand some. And if you think about it, if he ends up in Brooklyn, he's really going to have exactly the same thing he had in Boston. He's the number one guy with a bunch of pretty good players around him, and that didn't even get him to the Eastern Conference Final. So I don't really know what Kyrie's thinking.
Yeah, man, great point there, man, Jay. I'm totally on board with you with that. I just don't know what his mindset is. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing with Kawhi in a different way. I mean, Kawhi, you don't know because he doesn't talk. And Kyrie, he talks, but you still don't know what he's about. You know what I mean? Because he changes his, he changes his attitude and he changes his thoughts and opinions, on a day-to-day basis. And so it's really hard to see exactly what it is, what he's about. Reports are it's about he wants to be in Brooklyn, but there's also reports that say that he wants to play with with AD, and there's also reports that he doesn't want to play with LeBron. So, with that being said, it baffles me with him, man. But yeah, you make a great point there. Manny, give me your thoughts on Kyrie, and what do you think he'll land, and what type of impact will he have on wherever you think he would land?
I'm in agreement with Jay. Not as big of an impact as he may think he may have. Things rather that he may have. I know that he's quote unquote made amends, with LeBron, and maybe he might be receptive to playing with LeBron again or vice versa. He looks as if also he seems to be hot for Brooklyn. Although with Brooklyn, like Jay said, he's going to have the same situation like he had in Boston, if not a little bit worse. So
right.
Maybe he should have just either stayed in Boston, although Boston doesn't seem as if they're going to make any moves anytime soon. They didn't pull the trigger on Davis. They didn't pull the trigger on Kawhi Leonard. And you just wonder where that franchise is headed now. Supposedly this was a franchise that had so many picks at their disposal, but yet they failed to make the necessary moves. And now here we are, we're talking about them possibly being a has-been. So it's interesting to see. I don't think a lot of people are waiting for Kyrie necessarily to make his move. Yeah, he'll be a nice player, but I don't think he'll be the all-star caliber as perhaps he may think that he may, he is. So it's a wait and see at this point, but I don't think, I think Jay is right. He may have overvalued himself a bit too much and may have overcalculated a bit much as well.
Good stuff there, man. I mean, again, if I agree with you, if I agree with Jay, I'm agreeing with you. So great stuff there. Hey, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, as far as Kyrie going to L.A., I just got one question. Is he represented by Clutch Sports? Because if not, there's no way he ends up in L.A. I mean, if Rich Paul is not his agent, you can forget the Lakers thing. Now, as far as going to the Knicks, yeah, I've heard the same rumbling. I don't know if the Knicks are still all in on him like before. And then he's burning bridges in Boston. And he wanted to get away from LeBron because he wanted to be the guy. And he got that in Boston. And then he found out, hey, LeBron made this look easy. This is not as easy as I thought it was.
Right.
So you guys are correct. If you remove him from Boston and send him to Brooklyn, you send him up for failure because you put him in the exact same situation. And I think he's figured out what everybody else knew all along. He's not that guy to be the one out front. And now that he's figured it out, he should have not burned as many bridges in Boston. I don't know if that's repairable, but I don't see him going to L.A. I just don't see LeBron allowing that to happen unless there's some things behind the scenes, that we don't know about. But now, I said, if you turn on SportsCenter tomorrow and you see he's signed with Clutch Sports, then it's a done deal.
Right. Yeah, great point there, man. Great point there. Jay, we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch on a different player here, and we're going to talk about Kawhi, all right? And I know we've been talking about Kawhi, but I want to know where you think he should go, the best spot for him to be in right now going forward. I know I asked this question earlier, too, and which come had kind of alluded to it as far as Eric. I just want to get your thoughts on, where Kawhi would go, where do you think he should be at, and what's the best fit for him, and how do you see that playing out?
I agree with E, and ultimately I think Kawhi wants to go home. And I think if he does go home, he's going to go to the Clippers. I don't think he wants to play with LeBron. He just doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. I think he's proven to himself, winning in Toronto, he probably feels like he could go to the Clippers and get it done with him being the main guy and having a bunch of really good players around him. But at the same time, I think it's hard to walk away when you win a championship. The competitor in you is probably thinking, let's run it back. Let's see if we can get another one. So I think if I'm Kawhi, I sign a 2-year deal with a player option on that second. That's for that second year. I run it back this year, see what happens. And then if it doesn't work out, I can opt out and go to L.A. But I think because he won the championship, I feel like he probably needs to stick around for at least one more year and see if they can do it again.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it's pretty much, dead on what he was saying and pretty much what I was thinking. I'm saying he should, he should stick around, maybe like you both said, maybe one more year just to see if they can do it back-to-back, because the East is, right now the East is the East. LeBron's in the West, so that means that, the East is wide open right now. And from what you're hearing throughout the league is that Kyrie's looking, to go elsewhere. He's looking to leave Boston. Al Horford just left Boston, or he's opting out to leave Boston. And who is that really, after Boston and Toronto, who are we really talking about? I mean, Philly's up and coming. Sorry, Manny, I didn't mean to leave the boys out. I know Manny's a big Sixers fan, so I apologize for that. But, other than those three teams I just mentioned, who are you really talking about, right now?
Yeah,
I
got an interjection, too, on that real quick.
Go ahead.
When you finish, go ahead. Oh, no. So what I was going to say, okay, you see how you opened the show tonight? The very first question you asked was, do the Raptors get full credit because they beat a depleted Warriors team? So on a show on your level – is bringing that up, the biggest shows are asking the same questions. So I think Kawhi is the type of dude who wants to answer that question because even though, no one is really saying it probably to his face, some people are putting an asterisk by the championship. Yeah, you won it, but you beat up a beat-up team. So if Kawhi is the type of dude that has that dog in him, he's like, okay, I'll come back next year and we can do it again. I'm just saying that's the type of player he strikes me as. I don't see him being KD and saying, oh, y'all beat me 3-1, so let me come over here and play with y'all. So I think, like I said, even on the show on your level, that was the very first question you led with. So you know he hears this every day from every angle.
Right. And he's mum on it too, he's not right. Yeah, great, exactly. And he's very mum on it as well, as always. You never get anything from him. Maybe a laugh here and there, but that's Kawhi. We're gonna see, man. But that's that's great stuff. Manny, your thoughts on that same question?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think Kyrie. Let me preface it by saying that we always talk about how the game, as far as someone's legacy, can you write the history of the game without this person or that person? I don't think Kawhi really cares about anything about legacy. I don't think he really cares, quite frankly, about defending his championship. I think he went there and he did what he was supposed to do. Yes, Golden State was battered. They were bruised. I get that. I don't think he owes anything to Toronto. I don't think he holds any sort of allegiance to Toronto to say, you know what, I'm going to prove that we can do this yet again. I think that he's very content in getting his second MVP title, his second finals MVP, I should say, his second championship overall. I'm quite honestly, I think he's just going to say, you know what, thank you, Toronto, for taking care of me and my family this 1 year. I really appreciate it. Always have a special place in my heart, but, I'm looking to go back home. And quite honestly, I don't really, he strikes me as the kind of guy that he really doesn't care. The guy drives a 96 hoopty. Do you think he really cares about anything else? Quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he just hightails it out of there and goes back home to L.A.
Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, that's a good point because if you think about it, he's really in a win-win situation. Like if he stays, fine, he stays. But if he leaves, it's not like Toronto can boo him or turn their back. I mean, he brought him a championship. The only feeling they can have for him is goodwill. So he's in a win-win. You're right. If he's just like, I'm out of here, I mean, heck, he still owns the country. He brought him a title. So, yeah, I mean, he's in a win-win either way.
And that's treason. That's treason talk coming from Eric's point, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, treason. Cheer for Kim.
Good stuff, guys. Hey, good stuff. Hey, see, guys, again, this is why I have these guys on, man. It's always good talk with these guys. Hey, guys, I'm going to grab my second break here. When we come back, we're going to stay on the NBA talk. And we're going to talk a little bit NBA draft. You know, with the whole trade with the Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Now the Pelicans have the first and the fourth round pick. I mean, the first round. And let's see where we're going with that. Zion, will he be the next LeBron? Also, how do you see the first five picks playing out as well? We'll get into that with these guys, plus so much more. Guys, you're listening to Sports Talk with Kay Wall. We'll Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back. I am here with, again, Mr. Eric Scott, Mr. Jason Collins, and Mr. Manny Nunez as well, giving great insight about the NBA, free agency, NBA finals as well. Going to stay on the NBA topic, want to talk a little bit about the NBA draft that's coming up tomorrow night. Manny, I'm going to ask you about this first. And, with the trade happening with the Pelicans and the Lakers, that means that the Pelicans have the first and the fourth pick of tomorrow night's draft. Obviously, just in breaking news, Zion Williamson is going to be the first pick of tomorrow's night draft. Did you guys know that or no?
Well, Kevin, no, never okay. Better be knowing you don't have a poop, you know.
But, just had to throw a little joke out there. But anyway, Manny, give me your thoughts on who they should go with that fourth pick, going forward. You know, because as the mock drafts have it, they have Zion Williamson obviously going first. Then they have Jay Morant going second, and then R.J. Barrett going third to the Knicks. Give me your thoughts on who the Pelicans should pick with that fourth pick.
That's a good question, Kev. I mean, with that fourth pick, I mean, it seems like they have a lot of leverage. Should they shop it for a future first-round pick or future picks? Cam Reddish obviously is going to be on the board at that time. It remains to be seen. I mean, they could do a lot of it. But my thing is, you have Zion going first. But how much of an impact is New Orleans, are the Pelicans going to make? Are they looking to be the team in New Orleans? Because obviously, and Eric knows this very well. New Orleans is a football town. It's a Saint city,
right.
How far away, I guess, is the question I'm trying to ask. How far away are the Pelicans from even being recognized as a team, in New Orleans? obviously Zion, you know, is going to try and put them on the map. I get that.
Right.
But is he going to be enough? You know, because you've seen teams that they've had the first pick overall, and you know they've done miserably with it. So, you know, you expect New Orleans and really not going to be a playoff team. You expect them more than likely to be another lottery team come next year. Maybe not the first pick, but probably somewhere in the top five. But I just don't see them doing much of anything. You know, perhaps with their fifth pick, I wouldn't be surprised if they start shopping it around. Maybe to let's say a Boston team who likes to, you know, stockpile their picks. But I think when it comes to the Pelicans, I think they're a ways away. I think they're like maybe five or six players away from anyone in New Orleans or the NBA, for that matter, really taking them seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point there. I mean, with a guy like Zion, to your question is like, you know, they are New Orleans. Obviously, the Saints are you know, the Saints are, you know, the pride and joy of that you know, of that city. You know, I just think, you know, with a guy like Zion, I think they can bring some. That they'll bring a lot of attention, a lot of fans there. You know, this guy's you know, the biggest talent to come out. You know, he's the biggest hype, I should say, to come out since LeBron James. He lived up to the hype pretty much, and you know, at Duke last year. This guy's young. He's humble. He's ready to go. He's confident, not cocky. And even though I'm a, you know, I'm a Tar Heel fan, I admired the guy, you know, when he played, because it's an unbelievable talent, without question. But give me your thoughts on the Pelicans and what they should do. Obviously, they're going to go Zion, the first pick. What do you see them doing with that fourth pick? And as a New Orleans Saints fan, I'm not sure if you're a Pelicans fan, but I know you're
not
a fan. All right, okay. So what do you think
the building that the Pelicans play in is right next to the Superdome. I've been in the Superdome probably hundreds of times. I've never been in the building the Pelicans play in. I've just never been inside there. Now,
right.
I really wish they would call me before tomorrow night's draft, because I could give them some insight. First of all, I wouldn't take Zion with the first pick. I would take Morant. But that's no knock against Zion. The reason I take Morant, I think his ceiling is higher. And if I'm running I got Drew Holiday over there, who's probably the best two-way point guard in the league. He plays offense and defense. So if I bring in Zion to pretty much be my four, because I think he's too big for the three. He really can't play the five, so he's at the four. Well, I just had one of the best fours ever in Anthony Davis. So I'm trading in my Ferrari for a Ford. Now, that's a really nice Ford, but I had a Ferrari. So if that offense wasn't working that way, then let's go in a different direction. If I bring in Morant, I can reshape my whole offense. That's just me. But they're probably, like you said, they're probably going to take Zion with the first pick, which is not a bad thing. But I agree with Manny 100% on that fourth pick. I shopped that fourth pick, because if you look at it, this is really a two-person draft, Zion and Morant. After that, okay, you got R.J. Barrett. You got a couple of other, you know, footnote notable guys. But you don't really have many other superstars out there. And like Manny said, they're not built to win. Even with Zion, they're not built to win next year. So go ahead and take Zion with the first pick if that's what you want to do. But I go ahead and I shop that fourth spot for some other first-round picks. I mean, after I fleece the Lakers and I got a bunch of first rounds, maybe I can get a couple more, because I think the Lakers picks can only be every other year, because you can't trade back-to-back first-round picks. So in those gap years, I use this fourth pick to maybe get me another first-round pick in the other two drafts. I mean, that's just how I would look at it.
Wow.
Hey, guys, I'm here, just so you know.
Oh, who's that?
No, it's Nas. Just letting you know.
Oh, Nas. Okay, I'm sorry. Nas. I saw you on. I saw someone on, but I didn't know who it was. I was going to get to you. But Nas, hey, great. Thanks for joining us, but I appreciate that, buddy. I'm going to get to you in a moment, but I think, Manny, you was about to say something, so I'm actually going to come to you next with that.
Yeah, E, quick follow-up, E. Quick question. Obviously, you're from New Orleans, you know, you're from Louisiana, you know, you're a Saints fan, I know that, I respect that. How much respect do the Pelicans get in New Orleans, if at all, if any?
Well, no one really ever talks about them. I mean, there's something to do when football is not going on. I mean, it's like I said, their building is right, literally right next to the Superdome on Portrait, same complex. I've never been inside that building, not even for a concert, because if you or anybody work any day, you play the Superdome. You don't play the Pelicans Arena. And so, yeah, I've never been in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and what, you know what, Ian, and I think that's why they have to go with Zion, because he's the big name guy. He is the main attraction. So I think that's why they have to go with him first pick, because if you give up AD in a trade
agree.
That, yeah, you have
You're
to
right.
bring it. You have to bring in a. You have to bring in Zion. But Jay, no, Manny, I did say go ahead.
One other thing I left out real quick too: the scuttlebutt around the water cooler is within 2 years the Pelicans will be relocating to Seattle. That's also been a rumor because they want to put a team back in Seattle, and the Pelicans are a prime candidate for that because they really don't get the support for basketball, even with AD. And, I mean, Zion is like a shiny new toy. If they draft him, yeah, the first few games next year, they probably will sell out. But if they're not winning, people are not going to go. And even if they are winning, I mean, like once the newness wears off, you got 41 games at home. I would say give them maybe 15 to 20 games where they sell out. But if they're not winning, no, people not going to go. That's just not what we do.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I'm not down there, so I don't know. So that's great insight from you being down in that area. Jay, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I'm probably not as high on Zion as everyone else. I know he's a freakishly athletic talent. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player. I think he will be a good player. But I think he's going to have to refine his skills quite a bit if he's going to end up being like an elite NBA superstar. I mean, we see it with Ben Simmons. We even see it some with Giannis in the playoffs. That if you cannot shoot a jump shot consistently in the NBA, you will get exposed in the playoffs. I agree with you, though, Walk. I think they have to pick him because if they don't and he turns out to be a superstar, I mean, you know, that just makes him look really bad. So I think they have to take him. But think about it. He's not going to be as good as Anthony Davis was. Like, in his rookie year, he's not going to be as good as Anthony Davis was the last two seasons. So they're not going to win. But you got to take him with that fourth pick. I agree. Maybe shop it because look, Lonzo Ball is there. You got Holiday there. They're talking about taking Darius Garland, but do you really need another point guard if you've got those two guys there?
Exactly.
So with the fourth pick, I think you got to shop it and try and get another player or some draft picks or something like that. But man, I don't know. I think Zion's got it at 285, getting up and down the court for 82 games. All that could be a problem. So I think he's going to have to make some changes. He'll be a good player. He'll be athletic. He'll put on a show. He'll catch lobs. He'll do all that. But if he wants to be the elite of the elite, he's going to have to refine his game. And he's young, so it's not like he doesn't have plenty of time to do that. But like, I'm just not sold yet that this guy's going to be the next LeBron or something like that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jay. I mean, I think he's a great talent. Like you said, he is young. He's 18 years old. He's going to come in. He's going to learn. He's going to get his. He's going to have his growing pains, as any rookie does, in any league, not just NBA. I just think that you know when he comes in, I think he'll adjust his game accordingly to you know how it is, the speed, you know, the size, the strength to all of the defenders that he has to go up against. So I definitely see him. I don't see – you know, the one thing, Jay, you and I always agree on, we always hit something on the head for the same head is, like, I don't see him being an AD. I just don't think that he's going to be an AD. I think that, you know, New Orleans should have done a better job of trying to combine these two together and then bringing in, you know, or bringing in a – you know, trading up or, you know, doing whatever they have to do to bring another point guard in there as well. But – you know, I just think that it's going to be too much too soon for Zion. But you know that's it's going to play out as always. You know, we talk about it, but you guys make great points there. Nash, give me your thoughts on everything that we just
okay,
about.
So let's bring some sanity back here. First of all,
well, man,
if you're going to buy a Porsche, yeah, you can harp on gas mileage. Yeah, you can harp on the fact that maybe you don't want to drive to work every day in it. But at a certain point, you have to go back to the benefits of what you're actually getting. So, yes, you draft Zion, and stop thinking about national markets as far as the Saints being bigger than the Pelicans. The NBA is a global market. Guess how many Drew Brees jerseys were sold in China? Okay, now guess how many Zion jerseys are going to be sold in China? We're talking about easily shareable, exciting moments through Twitter and social media, the dunks, the steals, him on the break. That changes a franchise. Matter of fact, if you don't get in now as far as season tickets, you may find yourself priced out by next year. Like, this is going to be a big deal. He's an exciting player. They're going to force feed the ball to him. And no, they're not going to win early on. Really, a realistic goal is to kind of be where the Kings are, to where you're kind of outside of the playoff race but in the hunt, and more than likely not going to make it, but you're competitive, you're building a culture of winning, and you know, everybody's growing together. I agree with you guys on the fourth pick, though, because I don't know if they want to keep bringing so many young guys into the locker room at the same time. They may want to shop that and see what else they can do later. But overall, everything is perfect for them. They got the deal they wanted. They got young pieces, so they can kind of evaluate and see who they want to keep moving forward. But, man, you guys are talking yourself out of a million-dollar lottery ticket. Like, you're being too careful on this one, man. You draft Zion, period. Matter of fact, talk to the administrators and the business side for the New Orleans Pelicans. Talk to them about how things are going to change with Zion. And that's no knock on AD, but typically, you know, a big man playing big man basketball is not as exciting as a swingman who's a, you know, electrifying dunker and everything else. That's easier to sell. So, no, man, you guys are overthinking this.
Yeah, Nas, I agree with you, but I don't think anybody said that we wouldn't pick him. For me, I just said I'm pumping the brakes on him because, I mean, all that – I agree with you, all the marketing stuff, China, all that. But here's the thing. Like, you've got to be a superstar to sustain that. If he's getting 15 or 17 points, and, yeah, he's got some highlights, but the team is losing year after year, and he's not an NBA superstar – I don't know how sustainable that's going to be. Yeah, coming into the league, there's going to be all kinds of hype around him, as there should be. He's earned that. But if he can't get it done on the court, because eventually that's what it's going to boil down to. You got to get it done on the court. We've seen a lot of guys come into the league with hype around them, and then they fall into mediocrity. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to Zion, but I'm just saying if he doesn't refine his skills and finds himself just being a good NBA player, then all that hype and all that, that's going to go away if you don't win, because really that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, Rihanna likes to keep the peanut butter in the refrigerator, so, you know, we couldn't make things work. Like we at a certain point, man, you guys are going way too far on this. We're looking way too far forward. We don't know how he's going to pan out, but he's the most likely thing to pan out. So you kind of got to play on that trajectory and see how it goes. But sports media-wise, I gotta say this, guys. We've fallen into the championship or bust thing so much that we're kind of forgetting that the process is also enjoyable as a fan. You know what the most enjoyable Falcon season for me was? Not the Super Bowl season, not the best Mike Vick season. It was the season where we didn't expect anything in Matt Ryan's rookie year, when we got the surprise every week of the team being better than much better than what we thought. Wasn't a championship team, but it was still a good year of fandom. Everybody who bought tickets and watched, they enjoyed the hell out of it. And the process is a part of sports. Everything is not, okay, do we win a chip or not? No, you're still going to enjoy yourself. You're going to get league pass. You're going to watch it, and it's going to be good. It's a good product.
Right. So you're in the mentality of trusting the process. So when does it come to be with you, Naj, or any fan for that matter, with that being said, that you stop going to the games because the process doesn't work? Do you just continue to just trust the process? Give me your thoughts on that. With that being said, what you just said.
Well, if you don't like the direction that your team is going, then, yeah, you start getting rid of people, especially management. And then, you know, moving forward, nothing wrong with that either. But I'm just saying just how we're looking at things now. Like, we've gotten to a really sports radio type of mentality to where it's like a championship season or else it was trash. You know, that guy's an all-star or he's trash. And it's like, no. Sometimes it's good to just watch somebody develop and see how it goes, man. But I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting.
The issue with that is because these guys come into the league with these great expectations now. And it's just like rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. No one gives them 2 or 3 years to develop. You're either good right away or they're moving on to the next person. And I think, look, Ben Simmons is a nice player, right? But when he came into the league, he was supposed – oh, this is the second coming of LeBron James, 6'10", left-hander, athletic, can do all these things. But because he hasn't developed his game, like now he's looked at as a guy that's really athletic but can't shoot and in the playoffs is a liability. And I'm just saying that when you come into the league with this kind of expectations, you've got to be good and you've got to be good right now. Because if you're not, just as quick as the media has built you up, they're going to be ready to rip you right back down.
Sounds like good problems to me. If I get a third-year Ben Simmons, all-star, almost averaging a triple-double. Yeah, there's some holes in his game, but my God, going forward, that's a nice problem to have, man. And honestly, think about it. If he wasn't the team guy and a thinking basketball player that he is, we would see an Antoine Walker-like guy who can't shoot, continuing to shoot despite everybody not wanting him to. I actually like the fact that this dude is like, man, I can't shoot, so I'm not going to get out here and jack up three. I like that part of him. Develop it, yes. And it's going to take time. But, man, the other side of that is ugly. Josh Smith, Antoine Walker, you know, we've seen it.
Hey, man, you got anything to say about this? I know you want to chime in, man. I know you're dying to chime in.
The hype with Zion is that he is the second coming and he's going to turn the league on its ear. Listen, I just think, and Eric could back me up on this, I just think that there's something missing in his game. Man, don't ask me what it is because, quite honestly, I really don't. I just think that there's something missing that I just can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, he's going to come into the league. It's an 82-game grind, like Jay said. And this is not 30 games or 31 games like in college or where you can – choose to sit out certain games. This is 82 games, man. This is a long season. And you wonder whether or not his body is up to that, you know, up to that toll of banging with the big boys and with all the expectations of all the hype that's expected of him. You wonder whether or not he's capable of it. You know, the guy is, what, 18, 19 years old?
Right.
Obviously, he has the world on a spin, you know, but I don't know, man. I just don't think that he is going to be the megastar that a lot of people are claiming that he's going to be. Yeah, he has game. Don't get me wrong. He does that. You know, he does have that. He's going to give you the dunks, the alley-oops, you know, and everything else. But I just don't think he's going to be that mega superstar that everyone is claiming that he's going to be.
Well, based on what you're saying, Manny, let me ask you this question. If, let's say he is, and let's say he's in New Orleans he signs that rookie contract at 4 years, 5 years, I forget exactly what the NBA contract is, but regardless, whatever he signs for, the maximum contract for a rookie in the NBA, and he's doing everything that he's supposed to do. You know, New Orleans Pelicans, they're not a national, you know, they're not on national TV, you know, unless you buy the package like myself and I know Jason had mentioned it before in the past that he buys it as well as far as the NBA League Pass. Unless you buy that, you're never really not going to see that, you know, unless you're watching, you know, NBA TV or the Sports Center. But let's say he does become that guy. Let's say he does become, you know, that phenomenon that, you know, the hype that he lives up to. Now, what do you say about that, Manny? I mean, obviously, you got to give it to him. I mean, if he lives up to that. But with that being said, what you just said, how do you feel about that? If he lives up to that hype, does New Orleans deserve to be more on national TV? Do they deserve more national recognition in that regards?
But I think they're going to be nationally recognized just because Zion's on a team. But
really?
I think that, quite honestly, even though he'll do his thing, let's say, for example, he does everything that you just said he's going to do. You know, obviously he's going to be, when it comes to the All-Star game, the slam dunk contest, everything. He's going to be the megastar.
Right.
This is the one thing that's going to bring him back down to earth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Pelicans are going to lose so many games that he's going to get so sick and tired of it, it's like, you know what, I may look to get out of here. Yes, he did one and done in Duke, and they only lost, like, what, 5 or 6 games? That's going to go up exponentially, obviously, when he goes into the NBA. The fact that losing after a while, look, it happened to AD. He said, you know what, I want out of here, you know? And losing has a tendency of doing that to these superstars to the point where they say, you know what, I need to get out of here. I need to get my money elsewhere because obviously down here is not going to be working. I could do whatever I want, but
right.
You know, these losses after a while, they begin to pile up. So that's what I think may ultimately happen to him, is that the losing is going to get to him so much and he's going to ask to get out.
Wow.
I was just about to ask you
something, but go ahead. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, E. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask E on that. No, Naj, go ahead, and I'm going to ask E. Go ahead, Naj.
I was going to say, we got to remember that was the Dell Demps regime, a regime so terrible that David Stern had to step in and save them from themselves in a trade to make sure that they got Anthony Davis, and then they mismanaged the roster around him to the point where the man said, I'm fed up, I want to go. Now they have Griffin running things, who we just saw extract a haul from the Lakers with no other suitor involved, and he still pulled all of that out of the Lakers. So now they're under competent leadership, and I got to say, I think things are looking up, man. I don't think this is a Dell Demp yet.
Good stuff there, Naj. I was going to ask you, just to piggyback on what Manny was saying as far as what's going on in New Orleans, because, I'm pretty sure all of you have watched the lottery. And when he was the one, when the New Orleans Pelicans was awarded the first run, the first pick, overall pick, they interviewed Zion, and he said he'd never been to New Orleans. Let me ask you this question, E. This is specifically for you, because Manny said that why would he stay there? What would keep him there? What would keep him there? To be honest with you, to pretty much just answer what Manny had said. What would keep him there? Because you're more familiar with that area than we are.
I don't think we would be able to keep him. I mean, unless he could come in and win a championship, which we'd all discussed that's not going to happen in the foreseeable future. I think he comes in, does his 2 years. He'll probably sign that first extension because that's usually what NBA players do to get their big money. But after that, I really think we would lose him. Because now what I want to ask you, like when Manny asked you, if Zion does all those things that you said, he could potentially do, does that get us the late game on Christmas Day?
Because that's the tell-all.
If you can get the Christmas Day, now, of course he's not going to be that midday game. That's 4 o'clock game. That's usually like Warriors Lakers. That's already probably written down or whatever, or wherever Kawhi goes. But there's also a late game that comes on about 10 that night on Christmas Day. If Zion does all the
Lakers,
you said,
that's Denver against New Orleans.
Can we get that game? So if we can't get that game, then no. It's because, basketball, it's just not big back home. I mean, I said, Zion's going to be a shiny new toy, and for about 20, 30 games, maybe,
so you'll get bored with it?
Nas was saying that we better get in on the season tickets for the years to come. See, I don't think that's the case. I think we're going to lose the franchise. I think they're going to Seattle. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, you did mention that early, and that's why I asked you specifically, what's attractive? Is it more the organization itself, or is it the area itself? Because from what I'm hearing, I mean, New Orleans is attractive. I've never been there myself, but,
y'all going to make me do this. Y'all going to make me speak well of that city. But look, I'll say it like this. first of all, world-class food, world-class lodging, all of the 504 hot boys, Little Wayne, and folks, okay, celebrity, who are going to want to meet you. Have you ever had a woman from New Orleans call you baby? Have you ever had that? Okay, so imagine that times 10 for a like, I'm trying to tell you, being famous as a young black man in Houston or New Orleans is a whole nother level, and he's going to enjoy all of it because he's going to be on top of the mountain. And as far as superstardom, because, you know, NBA players are more visible than NFL players, and if he lives up to what he's supposed to be, we're talking about 15 to 17 points a game, rebounds, few assists, that's all we're talking about, and massive highlights, then he's right. going to be a superstar beyond belief down there, man. And as far wow. as primetime games, the moment they won the lotto, the NBA started figuring out how to flex primetime games to get them on TV.
Christmas Day? So, good. So you're saying they got to roll it out like Omar Epps in the program back in the day. That's how it's got to be.
And that's what you're going to see, my man. That's what you're going to see.
Jay, give me your thoughts on this. I'm dying to hear your thoughts on this, Jay.
Man, I don't know. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to keep him because, yeah, I mean, everything Nas just said about New Orleans is true. But couldn't we say that about a lot of cities? I mean,
right.
would is he better off in New Orleans than he is in L.A. or in New York or in Chicago? Or I mean,
right.
you know, like the NBA has tons of great cities, and
right.
and like wasn't Anthony Day like if you know like I don't know, man.
Yeah,
like I just think they're too young. I personally don't think he's going to be like a mega star. I think he's going to be a good NBA player, but I don't think
right.
he's going to be – he's look, the NBA, man, look, you're talking about the best basketball players in the world, and it is a man's league. Men win championships in the NBA. Like, when's the last time a young dude won a championship in the NBA? Like, Jordan
right.
didn't win when he got there. LeBron didn't win when he got there. Like, you got to be a
stuff.
Man to win. And I just don't – I think by the time Zion develops and grows into that player that everybody wants him to be, he's going to be ready to walk out the door and go link up with somebody and try to win a championship. I don't think he's ever going to do it in New Orleans.
Right. Yeah, good stuff there, Jay. Yeah, always on point with that stuff, man. Guys, I'm going to grab my last break. When I come back, we're going to have some fun, man. We're going to talk about Magic Johnson. We're going to talk about, as much as I dislike doing it, we're going to talk about LeVar Ball. And then also, I'm going to give you guys a question. It's going to be a life question. And it's going to be fun, man. Just hear me out on this. When we come back, guys, we're going to have a lot of fun on the last segment. And, guys, again, you are listening to Sports Talk with Kate Walk. We'll Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Trap money, penny. She got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Yeah. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always, KB. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always. But the new me is really still the real me. I swear you gotta feel me before they try and kill me. They gotta make some choices, they running out of options. Cause I've been going off and they don't know when it's stopping. And when you get to the top and I see that you've been learning. And when I take you shopping, you spend it like you earned it. And when you popped off on your ex, he deserved it. I thought you would've won from the jump, that confirmed it. Trap money, Benny, ay. I buy you champagne, but you love some Henny. From the block like you Jenny, ay. I know you special, girl, cause I know too many. Risha, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you. And I'm down for you always, JT. Do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Kay Walk on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. For the break, I was talking to the gentleman, Mr. Nas. Thank you so much for joining us. Also, our special guests, Mr. Jason Collins, Mr. Eric Scott, and Mr. Manny Nunez. I want to thank all these guys for joining in on the conversation. show couldn't be great without these guys. Trust me, man. They give great insight. I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to stay with the basketball theme here, or the NBA, and I want to talk a little bit about as much as it pains me to say, LaVar Ball. I don't know if you guys you heard about, you know, he had sent out a tweet, and he said that the worst thing I should say, that the Lakers did was to trade LaVar Ball. Lonzo Ball. Excuse me, Lonzo Ball to the Pelicans. With that being said, I'm gonna start with you on this one, Manny, and give me your thoughts on that. If you did see it, and if you didn't, give me your thoughts on him. I know it pains you to talk about this guy, but give me your thoughts on that.
Don't even know why we're giving this guy even any time.
I know. It's sports talk, man.
I read about it, and it's like, you know, he is so determined on having Lonzo and LaMelo and whatever his other son's name. He is so determined on having them out of the spotlight at any cost that it doesn't matter whether or not if they get traded, if they get released, if they're on the IR for the entire season. He has to have their name somehow out there for either, you know, for relevance or just to have it known. You know, obviously when the season first started, what happened to the big baller brand? I mean, no one has heard from him since. You know, he had an issue with when he was on First Take that, you know, he told the host, you know, you could switch gears with me anytime. I'm like, you talk about inappropriate. I mean, come on now. He's not relevant in any way, shape, or form. You know, Lonzo Ball, let's face it, he's not as good as people thought he was going to be. You know, he was a one and done in UCLA, and he didn't do much of anything, you know, in LA with the Lakers. Yeah, he was hurt, but guess what? When he was healthy, he wasn't really doing much anyway. So he just finds a way to somehow get airtime and somehow make his brand, make his last name relevant. To me, just get him off the air, man. He's a nobody, quite honestly, man.
Okay. With that being said, I'm not going to ask anybody else about that guy. So, with that being said, let's talk about Magic Johnson. All right. Let's switch a little gears. We'll stay with the Lakers theme, but we'll talk about Magic Johnson. Jay, give me your thoughts on this. Magic Johnson resigning. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I unfortunately wasn't able to get the shows in to talk about it or get you guys on to talk about it. Magic Johnson's resignation and his recent tweets about the trade with the trade for AD and him giving credit to Jeannie Buss. Give me your thoughts on that when you first saw that.
Well, I wasn't really surprised that Magic resigned. I was a little more surprised at the way that he did it. But I wasn't surprised that he resigned because I think exactly like he said, like he just likes being Magic. He likes just talking to people and helping people. And he's obviously got a lot going on. And I never really thought that he would want to be a guy that was in the office grinding for 12 hours a day and at obscure gyms all around the world watching guys. So that job probably really didn't fit him. So I wasn't surprised that he left. And then when you find out about some of the backbiting and the turmoil that was happening there, you know, he's Magic Johnson. Like, you don't need to do that, you know? But, yeah, like, in terms of his tweets, I mean, y'all know how Magic tweets. I mean, he pretty much just gives you a recap of whatever's happening. So I wasn't, you know, again, wasn't surprised that he shout out congratulations and things like that because I think Magic has always tried to say the right thing, even though I do feel like maybe his feelings were a little bit hurt the way things went down in L.A. I think he's always tried to say the right thing, has always been loyal to Jeannie Buss. And even with Rob, even though he's, you know, obviously their issues are well documented, it's kind of just like the Magic Johnson thing to do, to just stay positive and, you know, try to make the best of the situation. So just weird how the whole thing went down, but
right.
Not surprised that Magic is still tweeting and doing his thing.
Yeah, great stuff there, Jay. Let me ask you this, Jay. Let's say he – aside all of his other his endeavors, if he just focused strictly on being the president of basketball operations for the Lakers or for any team for that matter, do you think he would have been very successful or the same? Give me your thoughts on that.
I mean, look, this is a guy that's been extremely successful, not only as a basketball player, but in business too. So who am I to say that if he put all of his time and energy into it, that he wouldn't have been successful at that?
Right.
You know, so I think he probably could have did a good job. I mean, just as good as some of these other clowns that are running organizations, you know. So I think he probably could have did a good job if he was into it 100%. But I think the thing with Magic, though, is that he felt like he couldn't be himself. Like he was saying, like when he saw players from other teams, you know, he couldn't even go up to them and say what's up without, you know, worrying about tampering and stuff like that. So I think with him, he just wasn't able to be Magic. And I think that's the thing that probably got him out of it more than anything. But look, he's a smart business guy. Obviously, he understands basketball, great basketball mind. So he probably would have been fine. But I just don't think it really fit him from a personality standpoint.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. Naj, your thoughts on that same stuff that I mean, same for me. I mean, same question that I posted, Jay. Sorry.
Yeah. I think a lot of Magic's tenure has kind of been looked at in the wrong way. He was not brought on to be a numbers guy or a scout. He's a brand. He's selling Mr. Laker. That was the job. And then on the back end, they turned around and said, oh, this guy's not coming in and he's not doing this and that and the third. Well, I don't want Magic to numbers. Sorry, hate to tell you that. And, you know, he's a man of a certain age. So I'm sure when his assistant read those emails to them, he was fire hot. Like, this is a, you know what I mean?
Right.
Mindful guy. I'm sure that hurt his feelings a lot. But never forget, he was very instrumental in Genie even getting control of that team when they did that coup on Jimbo to get him out of that seat.
Yes.
So Magic, to me, he really deserves no blame in all of this, man. He's there to be, you know, kiss the babies and handshake and glad hand, and that's it. And now he's just angling for his next branding job with the Dodgers or whoever in L.A. He's not going to make anybody mad. He's always going to play the nice guy role. And he's going to continue to do those bland tweets and, you know, speak to people and do all of that stuff. But, yeah, man, nobody wants Magic with running numbers. Like, come on, man.
All right. Good stuff there, man. Good stuff. E, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I agree because, like, I watched that the interview with Stephen A. and Magic. And Magic, you made it clear that, you know, he wasn't brought in for this analytics or the numbers or any of, you know, that type of stuff. He was pretty much hired to be Magic Johnson. And then she brought in Rob, well, when Rob Pelinka, you know, came in, Magic said he felt, you know, betrayed by Pelinka and, you know, what Pelinka did behind his back. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm not even Magic Johnson. I don't need any of this. So he told Genie, y'all can have this. Because he said on that interview, the final straw, he wanted to fire Luke Walton. And Genie told him, okay, you can fire Luke Walton. Then she came back and said, oh, wait 3 days. And then they bring in another guy. And the other guy, one of Pelinka's friends. No, one of Luke Walter's friends. He's like, yeah, we don't want to fire Luke. And Maddie's like, wait a minute. I answered to Genie Buss only. Who's this guy?
Right.
My dog, I don't need this. I don't need this. I'm out. So he was like, because like Dodge just said, he was instrumental in Genie Buss getting the team. He was also the reason that they got LeBron. So I do think he was sincere, though, when he tweeted he was happy that they were able to get AD because he knows no ill will for the Lakers. It's Rob Pelinka that he doesn't like.
I'm not sure if we lost Naj there. You still there, buddy?
No, I'm sure.
I mean, not Naj. I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No,
hey,
I was going with my thought.
Oh, okay. Cool. Manny, there are thoughts, buddy.
Do I think that Magic could have done a good job in L.A.? I've always been of the opinion that superstars generally don't make either great coaches or great executives. The reason I say that is because the game came too easy to them. And one example that I have is Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, Kev, you know he failed miserably in New York. You know, when he was the GM and he was the coach of the, I think, was he the coach of the Knicks? I know he was the GM at some point.
Yeah,
but he wasn't the coach.
He wasn't the coach. He was.
He wasn't. But and then you have, you look at Larry Bird and what he did in Indiana. He could only take them, but for so long in the playoffs, and then he couldn't take them up to that next, to the next level. I don't know if he would have done, I don't know if he was cut out for that type of thing. I think Magic is his own person. I think he loves the Magic brand, and he loves the Magic freedom that it provides him. Whether there was some backstabbing going on, I mean, no one is going to know, but the parties involved. But I just don't think that, quite honestly, he would have been as good as people may have wanted him to be. Maybe, Rob Pelinka, the GM, the way that people portray him is that of someone who, A, doesn't return calls, B, is a liar for, he'll never admit to his mistakes, and C, he's not exactly the greatest of executives. So how they were able to pull off this whole AD thing, whether or not they did it with smoke and mirrors, is beyond me, but I just don't think the Magic would have been the one to take him to the next level, and you wonder whether or not he would have given up as much for the AD trade as far as the three first rounders as the as LA did without him. So we'll see how it pans out.
Exactly, I think you make great points there as far as the superstars not being great GM. I mean, executives like Michael Jordan, obviously with the Hornets. You mentioned Larry Bird, and you look at some of these guys who were bench guys or sidekicks or whatever, not so much sidekicks, but just role players, if you will, like a Steve Kerr, like a Doc Rivers, just to name a couple. I just think that some of these guys just they just think too much basketball, meaning they're the superstars, and it may get to them at some point. And that's just my opinion. That's just my thoughts on that. But if you look at it around the league, and as far as these guys, as far as the successful teams and the head coaches, and even in the executives, Danny Ainge and Boston, these guys were predominantly role players, and throughout their careers. So it's they look back, they can see stuff, see stuff that certain players cannot see because they're more involved in the game. These guys sit back on the bench, they notice stuff, then they react in a different way. So great point there, Manny, and in that regard. excuse me. Also, with with the Magic situation, man, I think that. I just think that he just had more on his plate than he was willing to give, and then that, as you guys mentioned, as far as the backstabbing goes, I think that played more into it than anything that caused him to ultimately resign. So, great stuff there, guys. But that's just my opinion. I always give my thoughts and opinions on that. Guys, we got a couple more minutes here, and I want to end this show on this, guys. And Jay, I'm gonna start with you on this one. There was a question. I was watching NFL Network this morning, and they posed a great question. Man, they posed a great question, and I had to think about this for a minute, man. I'm giving you my answer on this. But Jay, if someone, and this is for all of you guys, but I'm starting with you, Jay. If someone offers you $2 billion. To make an NBA half-court shot, and you get 8 tries. If you miss, you got to go to prison for 8 years. Are you doing
that? No. Oh, man. I was like, as soon as you said $2 billion, I was like, yes. Because it was like, what won't I do? You know what I mean? But, man, prison is like... Ooh, that's the one place that I don't think I'd want to be, man. So And I was sitting up here, you know, before you said prison, I was like, man, I could make a shot, 8 tries. I could knock one of those down, you know. But then you said prison, man, that puts a whole other twist on it. And
right.
then the pressure, too. Like, say you miss the first 4 or 5. Now you
right.
got 3 attempts, and or you're walking off in cuffs. Nah, man, I'm not taking that chance. I'm going to be all right without that $2 billion.
That was my thinking. Man. That was really my thinking. As I said, it took me a few minutes. Manny, give me your thoughts on this one.
You know, but last season, I took my son to the Magic game down here. We were courtside because he had a function
mm-hmm.
with the school. And one of the activities was that they actually had to make a shot from half court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the competitor in me says, I could have made that, man, because they were all coming up short. But now that you ask that question, man, listen, like Jay said, you missed the first 3 or 4, that pressure is going to get to you. I value my freedom too much, man. $2 billion is a lot of money, and they need to have that cash on hand as soon as I make it. But the pressure of listening to the Pain Gang and them waiting for me out back, no, sir. I value my freedom too much, man.
I'm not mad at either one of you. E, give me your thoughts on that.
No way, no how, under any circumstances am I taking that risk. Because, like, once you've missed 7 shots and you got 1 shot left, you look over in the tunnel and you see the warden over there with some handcuffs circling around his fingers. And even if you make shot number 8, your heart will probably explode from the excitement because, no, it's just too risky. No, I'm good.
He said, no, I'm good. Nas, your thoughts?
Let me just say this for everybody out there. A million seconds is 12 days. Like, you did a second for every million, that's 12 days. You did a billion, that's 31 years, okay? So that's how much money we're talking about. When you said 2 billion, we're taking billion, not million. Scared money
billion,
don't make
dude,
no, man. I'm taking the shots, man. I'm taking those shots. And if I miss, guess what? I got the greatest story ever told when I get out to sell my book and do interviews and everything else. I'm doing the 8, bro, but I plan on taking the shot.
Taking it to account. I don't think you take it to account.
That reward is too
there.
Big. The risk, I'm taking that risk, bro. That reward is
man,
too big.
Man, after you miss those first 4 or 5, that rim is going to be so small. That half-court shot's going to look so far away. No, thank you.
And I just want y'all to know that y'all will be spoken of very, very terribly at Thanksgiving for future generations within your family. They're going to talk about how you were too scared to take them shots that could have brought y'all generational.
That's all. I'll still be free, you know?
And Nas. And Nas, with that being said, I only have one question. Like, if I miss them all, what prison am I going to? Is it one of the club med prisons or what am I prison I'm
yeah,
going to?
That makes a difference.
But,
that makes a
yeah.
difference.
Right. And two, I'm doing it.
You ain't taking
What's
that,
that
shot, man.
I'm taking all eight. No, I'm not taking one shot. I'm going to do it, Jay. I'm going to do it.
I would do it, Jay.
Let me paint this picture for you. Your wife is there. Your boys are there, man, sitting courtside. You done missed about 5 or 6. They're getting all teary-eyed. Come on, Walt.
Hey, Jay, you're right. Just remember, when you take your vacation
to Orlando, Florida, your wife is lying to you as she looks in your eyes and silently calls you a coward for the rest of y'all day. Like,
hey, you both paint great pictures. Billion. We're talking billion with a big yeah. Jay, you're right. I'm not Jay, you're right. I'm not doing it. I'm lying.
Man, you can't do that, man. You can't
I'm not doing that, man. Eight shots, though, man. Eight shots, you got to feel confident about it, though.
Oh, that last shot is the most terrifying thing I can imagine, dude. Like, I'm getting shook just thinking about it. But the reward is too big, man. That risk, you couldn't take it.
Right. I'm with you now. I thought about that, Nas. But at the end of the day, I was like Jay said, nah, I can't. If I miss all eight shots, man, I can't do the eight.
And when the divorce proceedings happen and your wife talks about irreconcilable differences, she won't say why she doesn't respect you anymore, but you'll know.
Yeah. Great stuff, guys. Man. Hey, guys. Hey, listen, man. I said this is going to be a great one, man. You guys made it a great one. Please join me again next week, guys. You guys make this show such an awesome one, and I told you I'll have another one, a good one for you next week as well, guys. And I told you we was going to have fun with this one, guys. But, you know, that's all the time that we have. Again, for Eric Scott, Mr. Nash, Mr. Jason Collins, and Mr. Manny Nunez, I'm Kevin Walker on Sports Talk with K Walk. I never had it so good, Sports Radio. We'll be back next week. Have a great night.
Perfect time, yeah. I'm gonna win that race if you cross that line. Yeah, yeah. For every question, I got answers, babe. For you, I'm trying to touch a girl and she's everywhere. Yeah, yeah. Just don't fuck up the vibe. Pennies and problems, put them to the side. Pop that champagne glasses up to the sky. Why not just live, have a hell of a time with me? Been through it all. They was praying on our downfall. We moved mountains, knocked down the walls. Funny how they hate, then try to steal the soul. Bounce back after a loss. Staying out the way of the law. Fast lane on them, make the boy drop jaw. Candy paint on it, make his girl drop draws. Whoa, let's celebrate. You ain't getting money, then I can't relate. Like, I ain't never felt this good in my life.
Got a girl put the good in a good night, and she giving me that look, that's a good sign. And she mighty fine, so it's easy like post game layups. Sharper than the needle at the place they film Frazier. Gold game major, achieve game major. She know I crush a lot, and I'm a player. All around the world, we seen it and we done it. Towns, yeah, we run it. Shift gears and gun it. I reminisce when I open up the safe. Dodge every mouse trap in this rat race.